Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Supreme Court today heard oral argument in a case that asks if the First Amendment protects a Colorado baker from creating a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. Now, this originally took place back in 2012. Charlie and David Mullins sought to purchase a cake from Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. Owner Jack Phillips said he did not support same-sex marriage because of his religious beliefs and could not make a cake to celebrate such a marriage. But Phillips did say he would be happy to sell the couple other items. Well, the case has made its way all the way up to the nation's highest court, and outside the Supreme Court today, David Mullins described how he felt after Phillips refused to sell to them.
I cried. Charlie cried. We were hurt and felt rejected, and we felt like second-class citizens in our society.
So this case raises the question of whether Phillips had the right to refuse based on his religious beliefs about same-sex marriage, or if he violated things like public accommodations laws, which require businesses to serve the public without discriminating based on race, gender, religion, or, in some states, sexual orientation. Today, Phillips himself said he believes it's the government that's rejecting his rights.
It's hard to believe that the government is forcing me to choose between providing for my family and my employees and violating my relationship with God. That is not freedom. That is not tolerance.
So let's take a closer look at what happened at the court today. Joining us is David French. He's an attorney and senior writer for National Review. David French, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Jenny Pizer, Senior Counsel and Director of Law and Policy at Lambda Legal. Jenny Pizer, welcome to you as well.
Great to be with you.
It's great to have both of you, and thank you both in advance for joining us. Let's just start out with sort of your basic take on really what is at stake or what is at question in this case. I mean, Jenny Pizer, is this a First Amendment case or is it a civil rights case?
Well, it's definitely not really about cake. You know, it's about whether all of us will have the right to be treated equally when we're shopping to purchase goods or services in the public marketplace. It's actually not at all a new idea that some people have strong religious or other views for why they want to turn some customers away. But we have dealt with it repeatedly in the past about race, also about sex, when people have had strong religious views that women shouldn't do certain jobs, shouldn't be paid the same, unmarried couples shouldn't live in certain apartments. So we all have rights to believe, absolute rights to believe and to speak. But when you're operating a business that's open to the public, you have to serve the whole public, and you can't turn some people away just because of who they are. Hmm. You know, that's not a new idea, but it's a really, really important idea in our pluralistic society.
Well, let me get David French's take on this. Your thoughts on that, David?
Yeah, this is not about sexual orientation non-discrimination law. It's not about race discrimination law, sex discrimination law, or public accommodation law. It's about compelled speech. So, for example, you know, let's think of a recent public controversy. When Donald Trump was inaugurated, there were inaugural balls, and a number of fashion designers said that they would never want to design a dress for Ivanka or Melania Trump because they didn't want to use their artistic talent, use their artistic expression to support a political family they disagreed with. Now, that's no more. That's First Amendment protected speech, how they use their artistic talent, even if they're doing so in the marketplace. And it's not discriminating against Melania and Ivanka on the basis of gender or sex to deny them a dress, a specifically designed dress, simply because women disproportionately wear dresses. Traditionally, in the United States, for generations, artistic professionals have been protected from having to use their artistic talent to advance a message they disagree with. This
so can
is
I just jump
a
in
foundational
here?
Compelled speech issue.
Yeah, so Dave, forgive me for interrupting, but I just want to jump in with
sure.
a question because I'm wondering, though, in this, so we don't really know what would have happened to those designers if they had been asked to make such a dress because they weren't. But here in this case, we do have a businessman who also considers himself an artist with his cakes, having been asked to create something for this couple. But I guess what I'm wondering is, I mean, Colorado does have a public accommodations law that says a business cannot discriminate based on sexual orientation. And isn't that what happened here? Because he was ultimately in a business to sell the cakes.
No, he was not discriminated on the basis of sexual orientation. He's long and happily served LGBT customers in a variety of contexts and would have actually sold a cake to the LGBT customers in this context. The question was, would you custom design something in a circumstance that you would be compelled to participate in an event that violates your rights of conscience? That is compelled speech. So, for example, this guy has refused to custom design Halloween cakes, bachelor party or bachelorette cakes. He's a pretty strict guy on that. But he has always served people regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of race, gender. What he objects to is to use his services in support of messages he doesn't like. The question isn't about identities of people.
So let me get a response from Jenny Pizer. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, so the first question is, what is a public accommodation? So if you have an elite artist who does not offer to make dresses or cakes or whatever for everyone, they're not a public accommodation. So if somebody refuses, you know, the kind of designer that he's talking about, same as people keep talking about Michelangelo, I mean, no offense to Jack Phillips, but he's not Michelangelo. He offers to make cakes generally for everyone, but not for same-sex couples. So, of course, that's discrimination. He gets to decide what he makes, but not for whom he makes it, if he's offering it for the general public. So, you know, he doesn't do Halloween cakes for everyone. That's fine. That's consistent with the law. But if he chooses to make wedding cakes, he has to sell them to everyone because he is a store that offers his cakes generally to everyone, just not for those people. One of the important things here is that it certainly is discrimination. He has said, well, he doesn't discriminate against gay people. He offers to sell cookies or pie. But that's a little bit like saying, well, I'll hire women, but just to work in the back office, not to be in the front office. Or the barbecue case about race discrimination and religious rights that the Supreme Court decided quite a while ago, where the Piggy Park restaurant was willing to provide takeout to African-American customers, but they couldn't sit in the restaurant. Well, of course it's discrimination. The point is equal needs to be equal for everyone. That's what Colorado law says. And it's not a speech problem if people comply with the law. Engaging in conduct because the law requires it does not mean you agree with the law.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us agree with the tax law?
So let me,
you know, or paying our taxes doesn't mean we agree.
I want to turn back to David French on this point because I'm wondering, many times the purpose of a Supreme Court case or a case that reaches the highest court is to help, you know, us as a nation figure out where to draw these legal lines. So, David, let me just ask you, I mean, what if Mr. Phillips had, you know, if a mixed race couple had come into the store and asked for a cake? Of course, you know, mixed race marriages have been legal in the United States for many decades now. But he had said it's against my religious beliefs for couples of different races to marry. I mean, would that be okay? Based on your argument, it sounds like you'd be okay with that too.
Well, his argument to the Supreme Court was different. His argument to the Supreme Court was that there is a different level of compelling governmental interest when race is involved. However, my argument is you do not compel the creative speech of artists, period, period. So there is not a situation in which compelled speech, it is appropriate for the government of the United States to compel creative expression. So, for example, you know, in extreme emergency moments in our country's history, such as the middle of World War II, the federal government, the Supreme Court held that the federal government couldn't compel people to salute the flag, say the Pledge of Allegiance at a time when national unity was something that was going to help preserve our national existence. When we're talking about compelled speech, that is violating a red line in free speech jurisprudence. And one thing I would note that's about the facts here, he would actually custom design and has custom designed products for LGBT folks, but just not custom design a cake for a same-sex wedding. He would do it for other occasions.
So Jenny Pizer, turning back to you here, it does make me wonder, given the line of reasoning that David French is saying that Phillips brought to the court today, some of the justices asked, okay, well, if that's the case, then, you know, who else is an artist? How else do we define people who would use this reasoning to protect their actions based on a free speech argument?
Well, I think that is a real problem because there's an enormous amount of creativity in producing certain kinds of goods and services, and that's a good thing. I mean, we've already mentioned clothing. Certainly, there are high-end restaurants where there's an enormous amount of talent and artistry that goes into it, making all kinds of products. There's creativity. There's investment by a person in creating a beautiful thing. But if the rule is going to be anytime somebody creates a beautiful thing, they have a free pass to ignore the civil rights laws, we have a real problem. And the amicus brief, the friend of the court brief that we did, was to bring to the court the enormous range, unfortunately, of discrimination that LGBT people experience in life. It literally is from cradle to grave, medical services to funeral services, and all kinds of things in between, from restaurants to lodging to all kinds of things, because people have all kinds of beliefs. That's why the rule has been and has to remain, it must remain, that our freedom to believe and to speak is absolutely protected, but not our freedom to act based on the beliefs, and especially when it's to the detriment of other people.
Right.
We won't have a society that's open to everybody if we go down this line that then allows people to opt themselves out of the civil rights laws. That leads to segregation, We mustn't have to learn that lesson again.
So we've just got under a minute to go. David French, let me turn back to you to get your response to what Jenny Pizer said, because I think a lot of people may be wondering that. Like, say the court does decide in favor of Phillips. We obviously don't know what the court's going to do, but say hypothetically they did. I mean, could that decision provide legitimacy that would allow many other businesses to use the same reasoning to then refuse to serve same-sex couples?
No, this is easy. The Supreme Court can reaffirm civil rights case law, including the case laws that prohibit identity-based discrimination, while at the same time reaffirming case law that protects an individual from engaging in compelled speech. And one of the things here that is important to remember is, let's look at this actual case. In this actual case, the same-sex couple, the gay couple at their event, their cake was a rainbow cake. Now, nobody can say that a rainbow cake in this context doesn't communicate a specific social, political, religious meaning, in the same way that if you ask, say, an African-American baker to bake a Confederate flag cake, that's using your talents to communicate a specific meaning in a cultural, social, political, religious context. You can protect people's rights to be free of forced speech. At the same time, you protect people from identity-based discrimination. In fact, that's been the default for American law for many, yeah, many generations. To change that and rule against the baker here would be to change the law.
Okay, so we're going over time here for a second, but Jenny Pizer, I just wanted to give you one last chance to respond to that, because what David French said was very similar to what the U.S. Solicitor General said in court today, saying, you know, we shouldn't compel a black artist to make something that would celebrate the Klan, for example. Your thought on that.
Sure, but they did not ask for a rainbow cake. Later, somebody gave them a rainbow cake. They wanted a cake like the cakes that Jack Phillips makes for everybody else. So the baker gets to decide what he makes, but not for whom or to whom he sells it. And they wanted one of the kinds of things that he makes for everybody else. That's all they wanted. And that's what they should have been able to get, just like anybody else.
Well, Jenny Pizer, Senior Counsel and Director of Law and Policy at Lambda Legal, thank you so very much for joining us.
My pleasure, anytime.
And David French, attorney and senior writer for the National Review, thank you as well for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.